goes astray, and the flame dies away. You walk the lonesome night.
This is Larry Bloom, and you are listening to The Divorce Hour. Every so often we talk about the pain of divorce. And today, that's exactly what we're going to talk about with Karen Baru, who is a licensed clinical social worker. She is now in London. Karen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Karen. Welcome aboard. Let me give you a little bit about Karen. She, I assume, was born in South Africa because she moved to New York from South Africa, attended NYU, became a dietitian, which I found somewhat interesting, and then a clinical social worker with a specialty in marriage and children. And she handles relationships, intimacy, and the breakup of relationships in a private practice. You are now in London, is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, how are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Okay.
I'm thrilled to be on the show.
Well, thank you for making the trip across the proverbial virtual ocean. Now, what we've talked about, or we've entitled this show, is the pain of divorce and the loss of the dream. What do you mean when you say the loss of a dream?
Well, after 17 years of counseling people who are about to get divorced or in marital crisis deciding if they should get divorced, one of the common themes that I've noticed about people who are in that situation is they constantly talk about why they got married and the reason they got married, and this isn't what they got married for. So when I drill down in terms of, okay, so what did you get married for? Most people will say, well, I thought it was going to last forever. I thought my wife or my husband would always be there for me. So the dream is exactly like it's portrayed in the fairy tales and the Cinderella stories, that it's supposed to be happily ever after. So the expectation is that we get married to somebody that we're going to be madly in love with for the rest of our lives, and that person will be in our life forever. So we're constantly relating that dream, and I call it a dream because it is almost like a fantasy that it's just going to be okay and we're going to have this person in our lives and we're just going to move through our marriages, kind of floating through them, and everything will always be okay.
Well, let me ask you this. It's hard to maintain a relationship where you're madly in love with the other person. You know, that happens during the honeymoon phase, during the courtship phase. I don't think that you stay madly in love with someone forever. Would you agree?
I would agree. And actually, the research shows that the actual chemistry that attracts people to each other, because there is actually a physical chemistry between two people who are attracted to each other, starts to decrease within the first 2 years of living together every day.
I can believe that.
So that madly in love, sparkly feeling starts to deteriorate within 2 years of marriage.
2 years of marriage or 2 years of living together?
Both.
You
know,
okay.
If they haven't gotten... And that's why so often in relationships you hear about people who have had long-distance relationships for 10 years. And then they decide to move to the same state and live together. And within a few months, they've broken up.
Okay.
Because the chemistry, if you're not living together, stays alive because you're not in the same place on a day-to-day basis.
Well, then it's a fantasy.
But that madly in love feeling definitely starts to decrease when you're together all the time.
Karen, that goes without saying, wouldn't you think? What's the expression? Absence makes the heart grow fonder?
Absolutely. But now we know why.
Okay. So how would you define divorce from an emotional perspective?
Well, I always compare it for my clients, and that it's a separation, it's an abandonment, it's an enormous sense of loss, and it can be compared to a death because it's the death of the marriage. And I think if people saw it like that and the severity of it, and they allowed themselves to go through the mourning stages, a lot of people would find it much easier to make that adjustment.
And what would the mourning stages be?
Well, the first stage is, you see, and it has to be, I have to distinguish between whether somebody is left or whether they, as I call them in my practice, the leavee. Because if somebody truly has already decided to leave a marriage and they go to their wife or husband and say, I'm not in love with you anymore, I'm leaving, it's a very different experience than the person who's being told that they're not good enough, that they're being rejected, that no matter what happens, I don't love you anymore. So the two people are having a very different experience, even though it's both under the heading of a divorce.
And that's something that I am going to want to go into in a greater detail, because while this was not my subject, this was not the way I was. There was no death of a dream. There was no, pain of divorce. To me, there was euphoria. And, you know, it was like a great weight lifted off of me. So, yes, I was the leaver. I was not the leavee. And, you know, the pain of divorce is not something I truly can experience.
Yep.
But... we're going to take a break in a minute, and I want to just tell you that when we come back, I want to talk about the mourning stages of divorce, and I want to talk about more about, and I'm guessing that all of this relates more to the person who is left rather than the person who is leaving. Would that be a fair statement?
I think that's fair, but in a lot of cases where there are children involved, the person who leaves does have to go through some kind of an adjustment in living with this person that they don't want anymore in their lives.
Okay. I think what we're going to do is we're going to come back and talk to Karen Baru a little bit more. If you have questions for Karen, please give us a call at 877-480-4120. This is the Divorce Hour with Larry Bloom here at TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind over matter, health and fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
This was a Supremes song. It wasn't a Diana Ross song or even a Diana Ross and the Supremes song, but a Supremes song. Where Did Our Love Go? From the 60s. I am here with Karen Baru, who's calling from London. Are you back with me, Karen?
I am.
Karen, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, how can they reach you?
They can reach me on email at karenbaru@ol.com.
I think we better spell your name.
Okay, it's Karon, C-A-R-O-N, B-A-R-R-U for Uncle, W for Water, at AOL.com.
Great. We are, we do not have a call. Thought we had a call. I apologize. So tell me, what are those morning stages for someone who's been left, and how long should that mourning take? What kind of duration are we talking about?
Well, you see, if you think about it as mourning the death of the marriage and the shock that came, is usually normally the first stage is the shock that something's happened, that I kind of knew in a way we weren't happy, or I knew that something was wrong, or I knew this person wasn't talking to me, but I didn't actually expect them to then say that they didn't love me. So the actual shock and the numbness of what's actually happened is usually the first thing that happens with people, and they get very teary and sad and scared and afraid and
withdrawn.
Kind of like all that survival instinct kicks in as soon as they feel that shock and numbness, which very, very often leads into extreme anger. And the anger can actually act out in so many different ways and over so many different periods of time.
Okay. And that anger might be, say, stonewalling the divorce process?
Very often.
Okay. Go ahead.
And I've actually seen cases where clients have gone to mediation, or we've done the preliminary mediation in my office, and the one is so angry that it just becomes really a battle of making the other one punishing the other one for putting them through this, that they're not even interested in mediating or settling or getting a settlement. All they're interested in doing is fighting, taking them to court, and raging a war, really, which is a very difficult cycle to get out of.
But I gotta know, how long should it last? What is that? How long would this mourning take?
Okay, in a healthy mourning process,
that's what I
where they
to
go through the shock of the numbness, the anger, the sadness, the questioning of what I did, why did I do something wrong, could I have saved it, working through the change of lifestyle, that I'm now going to be single again, I haven't dated since high school, I haven't dated since my 20s, how am I going to adjust to that? Working through the second stage of anger, that why am I in this situation again, and finally moving into some form of healthy acceptance. I would say on an average, and it's very difficult to say this because, of course, every situation is unique, but in a healthy situation, it would take about 2 years.
Okay. During the break, my producer reminded me that this show is all about me and that it's not my issue. So let me bring it back to me.
Okay.
This week was the second anniversary of me being out of my home. The first anniversary of me being a custodial parent to my 18-year-old son. And I still have a soon-to-be ex, because I'm still married to her, who won't participate in the negotiations, won't take an active role, and is forcing this matter to trial. Is 2 years too short a period of time for me to expect her to get over it?
No, but that's why I said that's a guideline, because I've seen cases where after 25 years, the person who was left refuses to let go.
I have a case like that right now. I understand that. I'm God willing, that is not me.
And when somebody is abandoned or left or rejected or told, I'm happier without you than I am with you, and then there's a child in common that they have to be reminded of all the time that did exist and that the rejection did exist, depending on the individual's ego, will be how you are able to shift them or not shift them. And if that person is actually in conflict resolution, comfortable in being in crisis, it becomes a very long and tedious and exhaustive battle, especially as you're saying that you're actually quite euphoric about it. Like for you, you feel like you've been released and have a new lease on life,
whereas right.
The other person feels like, how can I possibly make this miserable? I want you to be as miserable as I am, and that's my goal.
Aha. And that's why my wife or somebody else's spouse would drag out the divorce process.
Absolutely. Because I know if I'm costing you money, and I'm forcing you to go to lawyers, and I'm forcing you to go to court, and I'm forcing you that every single thing that you want, you are going to have to fight me with, I am now coupled with you in this battle where you are unhappy.
Okay.
But in a way, I'm meeting my objective because I'm making you unhappy and miserable in the same way that I'm unhappy and miserable because you walked out on me.
Okay. I walked out on you. But did I walk out on you just because I felt like leaving, or was there a problem? And wasn't I unhappy to the point where I wanted to leave and where I needed to leave? Doesn't that unhappiness come into the equation as well?
No.
No? So, if I say to her, all right, again, autobiographical. I've slept in the guest room for a year. And I announce I'm moving out of the house. And she's shocked and numb. What did she expect? Did she just expect that one day somebody would snap their fingers and I'd be back in the bedroom and we would live happily ever after?
Well, you see, a very important answer to that is, how did this person do conflict anyway in their lives? Like, are they a dreamer who thinks that everything's just going to work itself out no matter what? Are they an angry conflictor who just fights all the time, or are they an avoidant conflictor, which means they just avoid conflict?
Let's assume they're an avoider conflict, or they defer to others.
Okay, so an avoider conflict would just assume that by not dealing with anything, it's all just going to be okay. So the shock and reality that it's not going to be okay makes them extremely angry.
And that anger stage can go on, you said, for 2 years, could go on for 25 years.
Can go on forever.
You're not presenting a very positive picture here. What happens? How do you get the angry person? Let's say you're not the angry person. How do you have the angry person stop being angry? What can you do?
Okay. The magic word is validation, and I do a lot of this in my office.
Okay.
Where I have the person who's left and the person who's been left. I manage to force them into a room together, although usually they're very reluctant to do that.
I can imagine.
And if the person who left can validate meaning really, really help the person who they left feel that it's not that everything was bad, and it's not that they absolutely hate them, but it's just that the marriage was at a point where they couldn't be friends anymore. It had deteriorated to a point where they couldn't resolve conflict. The feeling wasn't right, so that they could stay together forever.
Karen, let me interrupt you.
We can still be friends in the future to co-parent our children or to be in our children's lives, no matter how old they are. We can still support each other if something had to happen, God forbid, you know, to our child and they needed both of our support. And we can still work together as a team if need be. We don't have to do all this anger, because I can validate for you that the marriage did work when I first met you, or we were happy for the time, whatever the person's looking for. And there's always something.
Karen, there's so much to talk about on this.
You can isolate through quiet conversation what it is that the hardest thing about being left is. You usually can isolate the magic feeling that needs to be validated.
Karen.
And the fantastic thing about it, which I actually pride myself on, is that when people work through that validation together, where the person who really felt the marriage had broken down to a point of no return can turn around to the person he was married to and say, you know, there was a time where we did get along and things looked like they could work. However, for the past year, we just haven't been able to be friends, and it's a rejection of both of us. It's both of our faults. It's 50-50 in the relationship. It was two of us that didn't know how to do it better. So let's both take some responsibility for the breakdown, and then we can move on and co-parent our children. It actually changes the anger into a form of acceptance for both of them, because they both can agree to take responsibility in the breakdown, and that's where you want to get the couple to.
Karen, we have to take a break. I want to talk more about validation when we get back. If you have a question, 877-480-4120. This is the Divorce Hour. I am Larry Bloom here at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Our little boy is 4 years old. And quite a little man. So we spell out the words we don't want him to understand. Like T-O-Y or maybe S-U-R-P-R-I-S-E. But the words we're hiding from him now tear the heart right out of me. Our D-I-V-O-R-C-E becomes final today.
D-I-V-O-R-C-E, Tammy Wynette. I am here with Karen Baru from London. Hello, Karen.
Hi, Larry.
Okay, let's take a break and handle this validation issue slowly, because I think it's really important. How do you get the two people in a room to start with? I mean, that to me sounds like it would be the hardest thing.
Well, if you have one of them that you have a trusting relationship with, what I found in the past is if I can phone the other one and invite them to come to a discussion session. It's not marriage therapy. It's not couples therapy. It's just a discussion session to see how they can work through the glitches that are in the mediation or the court system that they're spending a lot of money on fighting over. So my goal with them is to really present it as almost like a business meeting where you're both coming into the room to discuss the business of where you're at in your divorce and why you're unable to jump over a certain stage to get to the next stage. And normally, if I position this without any emotion, so it's not going to be calling up the marriage and, you know, going all the way back into the past, but really discussing where you are today and what those people need from each other. And then many times when they get into the office with me, usually they're okay to discuss it, especially if it's not going to be you did this and you did this, but they can talk about actually what's preventing them from moving forward.
Okay. Again, this show is all about me, so let me ask you a question about me. There's an old adage that says, little children, little problems, big children, big problems. My children are not babies anymore. And we had a meeting scheduled, my wife and I, to confront one of our children with a particular issue. And as we were en route to that meeting, I was the subject of a verbal attack like I never received during the entire 25 years of my marriage. Finally, I got out of the car and I said, we cannot co-parent. We can parallel parent, but we cannot co-parent. I got out of the car and I walked to my home. You have children. I have to assume that till the day I die, I'm going to have my children. And I have this other person in my life who is the other parent to these same children. How do I go on and deal with her?
Well, if you understand the emotional expectation that happens from having somebody be in a car with you, being reminded that you're no longer a couple, bearing in mind that did your ex-wife not want to get divorced?
No, she doesn't want to be divorced.
Right. So every time she's with you in that situation, it's almost like jam in her face that she is going to be divorced. So it's a constant reminder to her that she has failed at something, because often what the person who was left does is they personalize it. And it's a very personal thing that you did not want me, you have left me. So what happens is every time you're in a situation that they are reminded of how it could have been or how it should have been or what happened in the past, they are going to get this rage and wave of anger and abuse that you're right. You wouldn't have seen that in a marital situation usually. It's very unusual to see that level of venom come out for people that are so angry. But because the situation reminds them now of what they don't have anymore and what has been taken away from them, and you are the cause of that. So you are going to be the person that all that venom and anger is directed towards.
So do I suck it up and listen and take it, or do I just say, okay, I'm going to parent my children. She can do what she has to do. I'll do what I have to do. And we will not deal with each other, but we will each separately deal with the children.
Well, if the situation is is that it's so venomous to you as a person that you are really actually being abused verbally, then it is better to step back and say, to set up a boundary and say, I cannot allow myself to be abused. I'm going to have to step back and we will do things completely separately. However, it would be in our children's best interest if we could work out a cooperative situation where we could do things together. So what would help you, ex-wife, to do that, Sally? You know, mm-hmm. What would help Sally to get to a point, and this is you asking her, what would help her get to a point where she could actually sit in a room with you and have a discussion? What needs to happen? So what you're doing is you're validating for her that she's having a hard time, that she's not able to cope, and that things are very difficult for her.
Okay. But you're assuming two rational people. Now, while I consider myself a rational person, if there's one person in the world who can push my buttons, she's it.
Yep.
You know, and it's hard for me to take it and then rationally say, okay, I got it. Now we have to deal with the children. You know, I would imagine that I'm not the only person this way.
Everybody feels that way.
Unbelievable. We're going to come back and we're going to talk more with Karen Baru. This is the Divorce Hour on TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind Over Matter Health and Fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
He just let it.
He couldn't take no more abuse, so he shot down the congregation. You can't talk to a man.
Carol King singing Smack Water Jack. Karen, are you still with me?
I am.
Those are some lyrics we just heard. There's got to be an alternative before somebody goes out and blows up the congregation, shoots them to death. And sometimes in a divorce, you really feel like that. You feel like you've been pushed with your back against the wall. Don't you? Wouldn't you agree?
There's no way to get out.
I know. And fortunately, there are people like you who provide the psychotherapy and the social work to help people through these traumatic times. Isn't that correct?
Well, I was going to say, we've been talking a lot about all the problems, but not about solutions.
Okay.
So I think maybe it would be fair to throw in some of the solutions for the level of anger and the feeling of rejection and the feeling that the one feels elated and the other one feels furious. So when you're in a car together, it's very difficult to endure the journey.
Okay. So tell me. What do you do? What's the solution?
Because I'm a therapist, obviously I'm going to say, I would recommend for anybody that they do what I call post-divorce therapy, where the two people, it's more like the coaching side of therapy than the emotional side of therapy. Because in emotional therapy, we go all the way into the reasons why, and we look at the patterns of behavior, and we try and understand, you know, the feeling behind everything. In coaching therapy, we look for solutions to what the core stumbling blocks of the problem are. So when I get post-divorce couples coming into my office because I've been able to persuade the other one to join us, I set it up that what are the two most important things that you would like to achieve from today? What is the most important thing that's holding you both back from moving forward with your lives without all this anger and fighting and animosity? And I allow each person to come up with one or two things that they want to achieve, and we negotiate it almost like a business deal. So it's void from the actual emotion of getting involved in it, but each person is saying what they need to move forward, like you would need to be able to have a conversation about your children without being abused.
That's true.
So we would then give that problem to your ex-wife. What is it about being in the situation that makes you become so abusive? Because I'm sure as a woman, you don't want to be abusive to your ex-husband. So what is it that's keeping you in that space? We then process that answer, because in that answer lies the solution to be able to have the two of you be able to have a conversation without being angry. And there's all kinds of tools that go with that. For example, in couples who are really unable to have a conversation, we do have this wonderful thing nowadays called email. And I limit the amount of words that they're actually allowed to send to each other. So they have to do it in about 10-point forms. And if it becomes over that, then the other one has a right to delete without reading it, because you don't want to get involved in these very abusive, continual text, BlackBerry messages and emails that I see so often in my practice.
You know, I find that I use the email. My wife and I get along best through email. She'll say that we have this issue with this child. This is what I did. What I would suggest you do this. And we're really very good at putting together these emails. It's when we're face-to-face or next to each other in the same confined environment that we have the issues. So, you know, if I could communicate only textually as opposed to contextually with my ex, that would be great.
But that's what the coaching training sessions are all about.
You know, it's funny.
You're actually training the couple to talk to each other without the emotional piece in it.
When I had made the decision to leave, my wife wanted to go to a therapist together to discuss how we would tell our adult children the news. And I said to myself, Well, that seems like a waste of money. I'm sure they know already. But I went, and at the end of the session, the therapist said, I would be more than happy to continue with you to see if we can work out some of the issues. I had been brought, not kicking and screaming, but certainly against my will to the therapy in the first place. And yet I was the one who was willing to continue and she was the one who was not. So it's a very funny area. You know what I mean?
And a very complex area, because the emotions involved in it is what prevents people from doing what they would normally do.
Okay.
So it's the one area in life where people almost go against their own instincts and they do things that are so outrageous that in normal circumstances they would never do. As was illustrated in that movie that was made a few years ago, The War of the Roses.
Ah, yes, we know that one.
Which really kind of illustrated the extremes that people will go to punish the other one for leaving them.
But as I recall, they continued to share the house. Now,
well, they
divided
the house in half,
right,
until both of
that's
them
right.
ended up destroying each
well,
other.
Well, I have to tell you, I was so keen on having a weight lifted off of me that I left. And I was very, very relieved to have been out of that house. And every so often, I'll talk about my house and my secretary will go, that albatross? Because she knows that that's a bone of contention. And yes, the War of the Roses was very, very applicable to people going through divorces, probably more so than any of the other movies that have been out there. Except for maybe the Money Pit, when they kept throwing and everything they had into a house that kept sinking into the ground, quite literally. Karen, in the remaining time that we have, what are the words of wisdom to impart upon people who are about to undergo the divorce process?
Well, I think the most important thing is for the person who's going to be leaving, don't expect that the other person is going to just happily go along for the ride and make it easy. So if you set it up that if you know how painful that person is, how painful it's going to be for that person, that you set up some tools of communication from the very, very beginning in terms of talking to each other and working through a little bit of how you got to this point, even before you've actually made the decision that you're going to leave, that you would actually go through some kind of a therapeutic process to actually explore the feelings from the marriage not working out, the loss of the dream for the one person, learning how to validate each other if something goes wrong and you have to work out a conflict, and setting up fantastic tools on conflict resolution before you even go through the divorce process.
Interesting. Of course, you have to be able to talk to that person to even get them to go into the session. And often you get a response, and I know this is not confined to me, because I've read it, I've seen it, I've heard it. It's, why should I go to therapy? You have all the problems. It's all your fault. How do you get the spouse that is about to be left to understand the severity of the breakdown of the relationship?
Well, if you help them understand that actually you're going to therapy to look at the rest of your lives, whether you're going to be together or not, in terms of how are you going to do conflict together. So you're really going into conflict resolution training rather than the fear of hearing. Most people don't want to go to therapy because they don't want to be told everything that they've been doing wrong and made to feel that they failed.
You're right.
So if you angle it in a way that's about constructively learning about how to be together no matter what, it comes from a positive growth experience rather than a pointing fingers of all the things that went wrong, which makes people very insecure.
Karen, I want to thank you very much for being a part of the show today. The last segment I'm going to do by myself today. Tell our listeners one more time how they can reach you.
The best way to reach me is on my email, and that's Karon Baru, BARROW@AOL.com. And I want to thank all of you in New York for having me on the show, and thank you very much, Larry.
You're very welcome. Take care. And that I will be back in a minute for my closing statements, because this is, after all, a trial, and that's what we do at the end of the trial. We do a closing. This is the Divorce Hour. I am your host, Larry Bloom, and we are here at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Is Regina Spektor singing The Ode to Divorce. We are here in our last segment today, and I wanted to talk a little bit about what we just talked about with Karon. By the way, Karon, C-A-R-O-N. That's the way she spells her first name. If you want to go to her, send her an email or go to her website. You know, when you're in the heat of the moment, and you're usually in the heat of the moment when you are dealing with issues with your children, because they're the only things that matter anymore in your discussion with your ex. You can't let your buttons be pushed. I know. I let mine be pushed all the time. But you really can't do it. And what you have to do is you have to step back. And while me getting out of a car and walking 2 miles home was a statement in and of itself, I think that the emails afterwards, which were, this is what I'm going to do in the future, and I will parallel parent, but I cannot co-parent with you. Those are things that we have to address. And it has to be done calmly, and the best way to do it calmly is to not have your voice involved, because, quite frankly, I have, since I was a little boy, mom and dad used to say to me, don't raise your voice. And I would go, I'm not raising my voice. they would say, but your tone, well, tone is different from volume. But the point is that tone can be misinterpreted. Language, verbal language, can be misconstrued. People can hear sarcasm when no sarcasm was intended. People cannot hear sarcasm when sarcasm is intended. So what works for me, I belong to a support group, and we're not supposed to give advice to each other, but what we can say is what worked for me was, and what is working for me now, is to do most things in written form. Having said that, on Monday, first of all, this is Super Bowl weekend. And what am I doing the day after the Super Bowl? I'm going to a mediation session with my lawyer, my wife's lawyer, and my wife, and a retired judge. We're actually switching mediators because we figure, at least my lawyer figures, that if my wife hears something from a judge, they will perhaps listen a little more clearly and not back down. So wish me luck, everyone. Now, you know that January, which has now ended, we dealt with New Year's resolutions and beginning of the year stuff. February is Valentine's Day. That's right. We have one more show to do before Valentine's Day itself. And I've been addressing issues about love and relationships. In March, I want to go back to talking about money, because that's a very important issue on divorce. I also want to talk, this has been a very interesting week in New York divorce law. Today's Law Journal had a decision about an upstate judge directing a trial on the issue of a no-fault divorce, an irreconcilable differences divorce. What they're going to try, I don't know, and that's something I want to talk about in the future. And about judges deviating from the new alimony formula. Please join me next week when we will have Dr. Sheila Sterling talking about love and delusion, talking about what she defines as social sociopaths, men who stray would be too vague a word for it, but who would be sociopathic, if you will. And we're going to talk to Sheila for quite some time. Her book is fascinating. Please stay tuned for Tony Martinetti. And if you have missed a portion of this show, because I know we had some technical issues, the podcast will be up this afternoon or this evening. Restreams will be happening. Please listen to Tony. Please listen to all my friends here at Talking Alternative. This has been the Divorce Hour. I am Larry Bloom. Bombadida, 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 about the clouds when we're together. Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again.